It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hey friends, today I'm chatting with Teresa Mosier, an avid gardener for more than 40 years. She currently cares for and maintains 42 flower beds, around 200 roses, about 1,500 perennials, shrubs, and trees in her garden. Whew, she's busy. She's the past president of the New England Rose Society, a master rosarian and rose judge for the American Rose Society, and she's a life member of the National Garden Club. Add to that, she's the author of two books on roses. Hey, Teresa, welcome to Rose Chat.
Hi, Teresa. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, it's so good to have you. It's the Teresa to Teresa show. Hey, Teresa, in your first book, A Year in My Rose Garden, it is just an outstanding resource for any rose grower, but especially those who are new to growing roses. Now, in this book, you share what you do every month of the year. You also include your favorite roses and tools you use and other great resources. So I'm hoping this book is still available.
Yes, it is. It's still available, and they can contact me if they're interested, or it's also on Amazon. And it's really helpful. What I've put in there is what I've learned over the past 40 years to do and not to do. And, you know, everybody always asks us, oh, how do I do this? How do I do that? And I tried to put it all in as much as I could in my book and break it down month to month, like you mentioned. And also our favorite roses and our favorite things that we like to read and our tools and a lot of other photos and helpful information. And it's really for a beginner, and it's mostly also, too, for anybody that's been growing roses for a long time.
Oh, there's so many great reminders in there. And just hearing the way, even if you've been growing roses, you know, forever, just hearing what someone else does gives you ideas, and you can tweak your garden work. Now, my copy came with a fantastic garden journal. Does every book come with a garden journal?
You can purchase them separately or together. And the journal is what I've carried around in my garden all the years. And it's divided into 11 different sections. And it also has helpful information in the back. And I just like to keep track of, you know, the plants that I've purchased and the tools that I've bought, so I remember where I've purchased them and who's given me, you know, roses or plants. I'm really sentimental about that. And you can jot down as much as you want, or, you know, as little. And it's just nice to look back over the winter months and see what did well and what didn't.
It's so good for planning the next year when you know what happened. We think we'll remember, but we don't.
Exactly.
We think we will. We want to remember. We think, oh, I'll never forget that, but we do. So now you have a new book. And I got to tell you, when I read, and this one's just hot off the presses, when I read the title, How Roses Touch Our Lives, it got to me. So tell us about this one.
Yes. Well, I had started this many years ago, at least 8 years ago. And when I joined the Rose Society 16 years ago, I heard so many interesting stories of how people started growing roses and all the advice they had to give. And I said, we really need to, you know, have this information put down somewhere. So I started interviewing people, and I never really got to finish it. And about 3 years ago, I said, I'm going to go back to that. Those interviews and stories. And with the help of my friends, Pam Murphy and Andy Vonable, I was able to finish it a few weeks ago. And they're really about people's rose journeys and the advice they have to give. And there's 20 stories in the book. And we have some past presidents. We have people from all walks of life and all throughout the country. Peggy Martin is one of them. A lot of us know the Peggy Martin rose. And we have a family of hybridizers, and it's it's really, you know, I feel that you're going to all find it interesting and learn a lot from it.
Oh, I think so too. And even, you know, Peggy Martin is a great friend of mine and know her story well about the Katrina Rose, but your book tells some other stories that I didn't know about Peggy. And so that made it even more rich to me. I mean, you've gotten the big picture on so many of these fascinating rose growers that some I know in person and some I just heard about, but the stories are rich. And I think anyone that loves roses would enjoy this book for sure.
Yes, I was glad that they were able to share, you know, their stories and you know, approve a lot of the information that we gave out. And you really get an in-depth look into their journey and their advice and whatever each person has, you know, a different look on their advice. And you take some here and there and, you know, do what works for you. But at least you get to hear what a lot of them are doing throughout the country and what they've done and has worked for them and hasn't worked for them. And
yes. And, you know, it's those stories. The things that I love best about roses, I think sometimes is where they came from, their story. And ditto for the people who grow roses and grow a lot of roses and love roses. And we all came to it differently. And I know you have a sweet rose story that I want you to share with our friends.
Well, in my first book, I wrote a little bit about my story of how I started growing roses, and it had to do with my dad. I grew up gardening and growing roses with my dad. And on my second book, I continue that story, and you'll be able to read more about it there. I've updated it. I'm one of the 20 stories in the book. And it's just, I feel my story of the roses is just passing it on from generation to generation, my love of roses. And that's what I've been doing now with my granddaughter and my future granddaughter that I'll be having soon. So it's just how roses touch our lives.
Oh, it's so true. And your dad was a gardener, as I recall.
Yes. Oh, yes, he was. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so special when we can do this multi-generational thing. You know, my little grandboys, they're very into gardening too, as is their mother. And so just to see them, you know, grow things and want to plant things and, you know, harvest vegetables and they know Grammy loves roses. So it's just so special, just a special thing.
It's great to spend time out in the gardens with the family and you know, teach and pass it along to another generation.
Oh, it is. So you have a large garden and we want to hear a little bit about your garden.
Oh, we've been here about 35 years and most of it's from seedlings and cuttings. And it's quite large now. And I've been downsizing the past few years because there's a lot to take care of. And as I've mentioned to people, when I do talks or presentations, you know, it doesn't matter how many roses or plants you have, just have what you can handle and take care of, because that's what's most important, and enjoy it. That's the most important thing, is enjoy your roses and enjoy your garden.
I suspect your garden is a little bit like mine. I'm always thrilled when someone has enough time that they can walk around the garden. I can tell them about the plants, because if they come from cuttings and from things that people have shared with you, there's stories in that, and that makes just a walk through the garden, it's almost like you're walking with friends.
Yes. I look at a plant and I remember who gave it to me and exactly the story behind it. And yes.
Now that just makes it so special and personal. So you have a lot of roses. So it's a hard question for rose growers because we love so many. But in the interest of time, tell us about, I don't know, four or five of your favorites.
That's always hard. Yes, that's true. And from year to year, we always add a few. Now, I really love Poseidon or Novalis. That's a mauve floribunda. It really grows very, very fast. It's fragrant. I had seen it at Palatine Roses up in Canada. I knew I just had to have that rose. And it's really one of my favorites. It's a fast grower. I don't know if you grow that one at all.
It's beautiful. I lost it. I had it in years past, and I lost it for some reason. I'm not sure why now, but even has ruffled edges. But I had it for many years, and I love it, and I am definitely going to get it again. It is just so beautiful. And as you say, fragrant.
Yes. And Mother of Pearl, of course, we always recommend Mother of Pearl. It's listed as a light apricot, like pink grandiflora, but I have it as an apricot in my garden. It's just gorgeous. And it's, you know, lots and lots of blooms. And it's a great cut rose, a garden rose, and a show rose. And I just love Mother of Pearl. And as when anybody starts growing roses, I say, get Mother of Pearl. That's a great rose to start out with.
Perfect. I couldn't have said it better. I have several of them in my garden, and it's just beautiful. And it's beautiful in a garden setting with other plants. It holds on to, it's healthy, and it holds on to its petals for a long time.
Yes, yes, it does. Yeah, I have no complaints with Mother of Pearl. That's why I always tell a beginner, use Mother of Pearl in your garden.
And it's one of those colors that's very trendy right now. It is pinkish to the peach. I think it's more, you know, peach in my garden too. And I know that's a color that a lot of our young growers are very interested in.
And let's see. One of the new ones, Arctic Blue, the Floribunda. That's just beautiful. A mauve with a white reverse and gorgeous fragrance. And I do have that one. I love that one also. And then there's Easy on the Eyes, the Euthymia series of roses, the shrub, the mauves. Has the mauve eye also. It's just gorgeous in the garden.
Oh, it is. I have that one. It gets pretty big for me. Perfect in a perennial bed. Very healthy fragrance in that one, which I was very surprised about. And it is just gorgeous. It is easy on the eyes for sure.
Those are some of the ones that I can, you know, think of that I really, you know, some of my favorites off the top of my head right now.
Yeah, those are all really good ones. Now, Arctic Blue, I've not grown before, so I may have to put that on the list. Have not grown that one. Now, I noticed that in your email, it talks of your love of purple. So is there a story? This is a day for stories. Is there a story about purple?
No, there's really no story. I've just always loved purple, and I usually always wear purple, and people always give me purple things, and so of course my emails have to be purple roses, you know, purple roses lady.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You know, you're known for that. I've seen some gorgeous pictures of purple flowers in your garden. So you've done it well.
Yeah, it's funny because I never, when I wrote my first book and I printed it, I didn't have any pictures of myself in my garden. And so when I did a talk at the Newport Flower Show, I was all dressed up because I had a book signing. And I said to my husband, take some pictures of me in my garden. I'll never have makeup on and be dressed up in my garden and the roses are blooming. And that's the photo that I have on the back of my new book that just came out, How Roses Touch Our Lives, which I'm underneath the perennial blue trellis. And so there's one photo of me in my book.
This is so good. You know, sometimes gardeners have a hard time getting those beautiful pictures because, you know, if we are dressed up in our garden, it's usually because we're entertaining and right. We're busy. So, and if we're busy just working in the garden, well, we're not really photograph worthy.
No.
So we get into our work. Let's just say.
Exactly.
So when you get a good picture and if you're wearing a hat, well, then that's a bonus.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, so we've talked about roses, and those were great ones. What about some of your favorite perennials to pair with roses? I know a lot of our, especially our new gardeners, they're wanting that mixed bed of roses, the more the cottage look. So what are your favorite perennials to pair?
Yes, I always say I don't have a rose garden. I have a garden with roses. I have a lot of perennials, and I really feel that's important because you don't want a monoculture. You don't want all the same type of plant, which will help with, you know, disease and insects. I have, for perennials, I have coneflowers, phlox, geraniums, clematis are also good too. You just got to be careful when you're pruning the roses. let's see, some herbs. You can use chives, garlic, sage, and geraniums, of course. Geraniums are always beautiful with roses. Lavenders.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. One of the new bits of information that I'm hearing about geraniums and roses is that the Japanese beetles don't appear to like them. And I love geraniums of all kinds. And from the scented to those big salvias, I mean, to garden sage. I love garden sage in around the roses just because of the different texture and the different color of green. But if there's going to be more geraniums in my world, if it truly is something that's going to aggravate the Japanese beetles, because we had a bumper crop of Japanese beetles. They still are bloom for way too long in the summer. So I'm hoping to hear more about that.
Yeah, I had read that also. We didn't have a bad year with the Japanese beetles, but if anything can help, I agree.
Yeah. I'm hoping that our drought this summer helps too. Just if they can't burrow in and reproduce in our ground, I'll be all the happier. So we'll see what happens for next year. It's always right. What's going to happen next year.
Right.
And you said herbs with roses. And I think that's so wise. They're so beautiful. There's so many shapes. There's ground covers and then, you know, chives and just gives you a great blend, I think.
Yes. And supposedly it keeps away some of the, I call them varmints, the chives and the garlic from eating our roses.
I know. I think, isn't there a book, Roses Love Garlic or Garlic Loves Roses or something? I think I have that on my bookshelf. We have to look at that one to see what they were saying about it. But, you know, anything. And you mentioned the monoculture, and I think that we do want to avoid that. You know, if we can, we want to have a variety of things because we're going to bring in host for the good bugs to come.
Right. You
know, we definitely don't want a garden without bugs. We just want to give home for the good ones to come and take care of the bad ones.
Right. And even annuals, I mean, they're always, you know, great around roses.
Oh, that pop of color when the roses are, the perennials and the roses have had their moment, and that pop of color that the annuals give. And, you know, for the price, and especially if you, start seeds and start your own, I mean, the season long bloom is just amazing. I just love having that. So as I'm looking out in my garden now, and we are getting rain, thank goodness, finally, it's the annuals and the hydrangeas that are saving the day. So some of the shrubs too. So what are we haven't talked about your favorite shrubs.
My favorite shrubs in my garden, or my favorite shrub roses?
Shrubs in the garden.
Oh, shrubs in the garden. Let's see. I love butterfly bush. I love beautyberry. Of course, it's purple.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Let's see.
Do you have bluebeard, the Carpaterius?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, I've seen that, yes.
I know. You said maybe you were downsized.
I'm jealous.
I don't know. You might want to think about those. They're absolutely fabulous. You've got the hues, the green hues to yellow. You've got the green hues to the darker green, but you have these blue blooms this time of year when blooms aren't as prevalent, and the bees absolutely adore them. So it is definitely something to think about.
Yes.
For your garden.
Replace a plant in another spot. That's something to think about. Yes.
That's what I've been doing. Yeah. New ones are coming in. Other ones have to go find a new home. So yeah, that's kind of how we're doing it these days. Let's see, growing tips. What are some of your best growing tips that you would give to our friends?
Oh boy, let's see. Well, I usually suggest for people to use Epsom salts. I mean, Epsom salts are really good for the foliage and the cane growth, more blooms, and also they're good for our aching muscles.
Yeah, definitely good to use there too.
But I always try to say keep it simple. That's why I put the my book month to month, and enjoy your garden, enjoy your roses, and Mother Nature will, whether we care for them or not, they're going to bloom. I mean, look at all the roses in the cemeteries and everywhere around, that are growing wild. They're still going to grow and come back each year.
Sometimes I think the years that I fuss with them too much, mm-hmm. they kind of rebel I think they do like a little more freedom than sometimes we give them. And, you know, it's like, oh, well, I didn't fertilize and they didn't seem to care. So sometimes I think we care more than they do.
Yes.
I have a fertilizer that I love, and it has a little bit of Epsom salts in it and all kinds of organic and inorganic. So I go for the one-stop shopping. I think it's called Mills Easy Feed. And I don't know if you use that one or not, but I love it because it is kind of one-stop shopping for all the plants. And when you have a large garden, and that's something that everyone can use really does help. And the other thing I think you mentioned is just enjoy your garden. You know, we have roses because they're beautiful. They bring us pleasure. And, you know, there's stop and smell the roses is important.
Yes, it is. I always say enjoy your roses and share them. Share them. That's really important, especially now where you know, you're not able maybe to get to some nursing homes or hospitals or see people. You know, if you can just get them, the roses to them, it's so important.
Oh, I think it is. You know, that's how I became interested in roses, is someone shared cut bouquet with me. And so it is very important. You know, roses are just, they share love everywhere they go. You know, most people, there's very few people in the world who don't love roses, especially a homegrown rose. It's just, there's something special about getting to give that as a gift and to people. And this, you know, they're not all fragrant, but they're all beautiful. And I think that's another thing about having the mixed garden is that you can put some fragrant perennial shrub blooms or something, or mint or something, in with your roses that maybe aren't fragrant, and you can make your bouquet a little extra special.
Definitely.
Now, since you've written these two wonderful books, before we say goodbye, what would you say to someone who's thinking about writing a book?
Oh boy, it's a lot of work and it takes a lot of time. Just realize that it's going to be a long process. Ask for help because you'll need help. But stick with it because in the end, it's definitely worth it. Whatever you're writing about, you want to, you know, you'll share with people. And it's definitely a learning experience. And it's something that I never, ever thought I would be doing. And here I am.
Well, you kept really good records and you were able to share that in your first book. And you were able to look at all the people that you were able to help because you took the time and you had taken the time for some time to keep the records and to know what you were doing. And then you're able to help so many more with the book. And I think the stories that you've written will inspire people for a very long time. Just getting to kind of look behind the curtain at so many rose growers and the story behind the story is just fascinating. So we sure appreciate. And tell our listeners again where they can find your books.
They can email me at purpleroses@gmail.com. And I will send them information on purchasing them. And the first book, A Year in My Rose Garden, they can purchase that on Amazon. But the other one, they have to email me for that one right now.
Okay. It is truly hot off the press, and I'm so glad I have a copy. It's a beautiful cover, as they both are, but this one is particularly beautiful. And, of course, it's purple.
Thank you, of course.
So thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your love of roses and all of your great information. We're just so pleased to have you today.
You're welcome, Teresa. Thank you for having me.
Well, friends, I'm glad you tuned in today. Here in my world, we're getting some much needed rain, and I hope the weather is being kind to you today, too. And if you have questions for Teresa or you want to purchase one or both of her books, that email address was purpleroseslady@gmail.com. And until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.